Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea. The bye week has come and gone. It is time to get back to football here for the Cleveland Browns as they get ready to take on the Tennessee Titans in week number 5 of the NFL season. We've got a big show for you here today. A lot to cover as the Browns return. The players will be matriculating into the building today and tomorrow. They get back to work officially. So there is that. And also want to say this. There's a lot to think about here in the AFC North. Matt and I are going to really dive into the games of the Ravens and the Steelers over the weekend, give a kind of state of the AFC North. We're going to go through all the NFL action, highlighting all of the games around the league. And here are Ohio Business Machine's hot topics for today that we want to hear from you about at 216-578-0850 or on Twitter at Browns_daily, at Matt Wilhelm 57, or at Nathan Zagura. What did you do on Sunday with the Browns on a bye? Did you watch the NFL? And if so, what stood out to you the most? Maybe it was a player. Maybe it was a play. Maybe it was a team. Let us know. Looking at the Browns' next 5 games, 5 very, very winnable games against the Titans, against the Steelers, against the Jags, against the Bucks and the Raiders. What will the Browns' record be in those 5 games? Now, Ray Horton struggled as the defensive coordinator of the Browns. He was sent packing. He is now the defensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans, a team giving up 27.5 points per game right now. How will the Browns exploit and attack that defense? What were your memories of Ray Horton last year, and where did you think the holes in the defense were that the Browns should exploit? And finally, Dow Loggins was the offensive coordinator of the Titans last year. How can the Browns use that to their advantage? And we'll get into all of that with Matt Wilhelm. But Matt, first, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. Good to see you.
It's great to be back, man. It's game week now, finally.
I know. The bye week has come and gone. And obviously, it was a nice weekend for you on Saturday. The Buckeyes, a very decisive win over the Cincinnati Bearcats.
It definitely was. I'll be very honest. For those of you listeners who tuned into my pregame show, I was worried. I just thought, you know, Gunnar Kill and that explosive Cincinnati offense was going to be something tough for our defense. But again, I think JT Barrett as a redshirt freshman has truly stepped up. He has embraced this offense. The offense has embraced him as a leader. And I think Urban Meyer has these guys on a fast track. And now we start Big Ten play. It gets real.
Now it's about to get real out there. And certainly the Buckeyes had a nice game on Saturday. The Browns will hope to continue that winning way for Ohio this Sunday. And let's start with their opponent this week, the Tennessee Titans. 1-3 on the season now. They have a differential of negative 50 on the year. That's the third worst in the NFL. Only Jacksonville and Oakland have been beaten worse, and those two teams are 0-4. Titans have lost 3 in a row. They're averaging just 15 points a game on offense. They're giving up 27.5 points per game on defense. This is a team that is struggling. It doesn't necessarily know who its quarterback is going to be for this game. Jake Locker missing week 4. Charlie Whitehurst started and was awful. And then they've got the rookie Zach Mettenberger out there as well. This is a team that's in a little bit of transition. And Ken Wisenhunt, after the game, had when he first got the job in Tennessee, he said, you know, I'm not even going to ask you for patience. We're a good team. We're going to be ready to go. Well, somebody said to him, do you think you might need a little bit of patience? Did you overestimate the talent on this team? And he said, maybe I did. How does that play in the locker room when your head coach says, maybe I overestimated the talent on this football team?
It's tough, Nathan. And I think a lot of the reason is these guys, you know, you're confident and the coach has built you up, you know, put you through a significant training camp so you guys can grow together as a team. You know, I'm sure Coach Wisenhunt and his staff has created optimism for them to compete in the AFC South, you know, with the Texans and to be able to play with teams like the Colts, which we think is the cream of the crop in that division. But then he starts to question the amount of talent. And then what guys start to do is they start to not only question each other about who he's referencing, but in some cases, guys start to question themselves. Wait, is he talking about me? Well, then I need to step my game up, you know, and it's, well, why is he saying that about me? I'm the one producing. I'm the one, you know, and it creates a bad scenario. You know what? Very similar to, and again, it's just like a call out like Phil Mickelson and Tom Watson in the Ryder Cup. You know, when you're not doing things proper or you're not using the talent that you feel is inside a locker room properly, you start to point fingers, and it's already happening.
So do you think – is this something, though, where guys – it can go one of two ways, right? In the locker room, you can either say, okay, I'm going to have to get better. You can be like, screw this guy throwing us under the bus in the media like this.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Absolutely. And it's – I would be surprised this early in the season, because they haven't had that much success at 1-3, that if that's not the feeling they're having, it's not like, oh, I'm going to go prove him wrong. You know, not a few younger guys, but the vets who've been in the league 3, 4, 5 years, it's a call out. You know, it's a call out. And again, yes, they're going to have to go out and play to go get those paychecks. That's why we're, you know, they're professional athletes. But in some cases, when it comes to, you know, those tight situations where a coach really needs to count on his players or players on the coach, those little comments are going to come into question.
Will you get to see, do you think you'll be able to evaluate how this message was received early on in this game, how the Titans come out? Will that tell you a lot about whether or not they're going to play for Wisenhunter? They're going to say basically like, screw you.
It definitely will in some cases, but it, maybe not, because if you're in the Tennessee Titans locker room and you're trying to truly right the ship, you like the fact that the Cleveland Browns are coming to your stadium to play, although they're going to have, you know, 10, 13 days to prepare for them. But you like what in their eyes, a beatable team coming to town. You wouldn't at this case want a juggernaut like, you know, the Niners, the Seahawks, the Broncos coming to town, and you're like, oh, man, you know, coach doesn't believe in us, and we got these guys this week. But
sure.
So there is some optimism, but I will see is if the Browns can come in and play the type of football that you and I are going to talk about all week, and put it to them and start fast in what should be a very winnable game, and what we will talk about, a make-or-break game for this season, especially over the next five games, then the finger pointing will truly start, and you'll see on the field and in the locker room those words that are exchanged.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Obviously, we'll get into the Titans very much in depth over the course of this week as the Browns prepare for them, a team that they know very well. Ray Horton, the Browns defensive coordinator, is now the defensive coordinator in Tennessee, and the Browns have multiple weeks to prepare for him. Dow Loggins knows that offensive personnel well. He was the coordinator there last season, so he knows the offensive side of that squad very well, and the defensive side from being a coach and going against them in practice. So this is a game where the Browns are certainly going to have a lot of information on their opponent. They've got a lot of time to game plan for that opponent and certainly should be very well prepared to take on the Tennessee Titans and hopefully take them down. And I'm going to say it, I really feel that for the Browns to get where they want to be this year, this is a must-win game. You want to get ready and go on this stretch where you have five very winnable games in a row and get it started right, because you have an opportunity to win here on the road and then come back home for three of the next four in winnable games. But getting this first one, to me, is going to be very important for the Cleveland Browns, and I think it's a team that is beatable. It's a team that they have to think that they should beat, and it's a team, as we said, with 2 weeks to prepare, with the knowledge of the coaching staffs, that they should be completely prepared and game plan specific, you know, very ready, and it's a matter of coming out executing. But I think this could be a must-win game for the Browns.
Definitely, and we just hope that this is the that the feelings inside this locker room are the same. You know, I'm sure the coaches are going to coach and say, hey, even though they're not a bunch of bright spots that you can coach up about the Tennessee Titans, you've got to overplay, hey, they can beat us. Hey, they've got this. So to create some doubt in a very confident Browns locker room so that you don't just feel like, yeah, we're going to show up and do us and it's going to be enough to win, because that'll get you beat.
Absolutely.
But the fact of the matter is, like I said, the swagger in this locker room, even at 1-2 because of the games that you've played, the opponents that you've played, and also to the improvements. We want to see some of those improvements, you know, shine through in this game, because we truly feel that if they slow down and these coaches coached over the course of this bye week and improved in some key areas, we can be a very, very good football team.
There's no question about it. Let's get into the player mindset here. You get the bye week, you get out of town. A lot of guys got out of town this weekend. They will be back. Some are back today. We've seen a lot of players today, and then we've got some people coming back tomorrow when they will get back to work officially. How difficult is it to kind of get this break and then get back into it? I know that I enjoyed my time over the weekend and you know, getting back into it. You know, there is a little bit of an adjustment. How is it for a player?
First and foremost, they have to understand this is part of being a professional. So with this being a young team, we just hope that some of the veterans groomed these guys going into the bye week, and also too created some realistic expectations for these young guys to be able to crank things back up. You know, the Joe Thomases, the Alex Max, they were probably sitting back with their feet up, having a couple cold ones, you know, watching some football. I know Joe was probably out on a boat fishing somewhere. But for some of the younger guys that are exploring this time on their hands, this is time and money for some of these young guys after a couple paychecks, you know, are now cleared in their bank account. Time and money in their bank account. How did you use that time? You know, did you use that time to hurt yourself, or did you use that time to better yourself, and also to reestablish some connections with family and friends and celebrate your success through 3 weeks in the NFL? But I think it's the mentality they return with, you know, that the unfinished business mentality, because if they, a lot of them would have liked to play week four, as we talked about,
of course,
soon thereafter the Ravens game because of the letdown, but the break came when it came and you can't change that. We just hope that they personally have that vendetta of, we need to go out and prove. And also, too, is as a player, this is that player perspective you're talking about. With that, you know, you walk by that schedule, I'm sure somewhere on a wall down there in the Browns locker room, and you know the opponents that are ahead of you, too. This is the first one of a very winnable stretch of games.
And they've got to win this first one. The crazy thing is that had the Browns defeated the Baltimore Ravens in that game that we all hoped they'd win, they would be sitting alone in second place in the AFC North at 2-1. Instead, they are at the bottom of the AFC North at 1-2. We're going to dive into the Baltimore game against Carolina, the Pittsburgh game against Tampa Bay a little further down the road. But as we look at this Browns team and they come back, they're getting focused. One of the things we asked you guys is, what did you do over the bye week with the Browns out? And 216-578-0850, the way to tell us about that. We can discuss that. But Matt, how did you spend your bye week this weekend?
I spent my bye week with my kids, and I was, of course, I did the pregame of the Buckeyes yesterday from Panini's in West Park. Took in the game on the Big Ten Network, which was a little weird to watch it on the Big Ten Network, but again, it was impressed with their performance. I'm excited and now re-energized about the football team because I think they answered some questions that I had coming off of that defeat of Virginia Tech. And then Sunday, I just took the full gamut of the games, and it was just, I watched every game that was on TV, and I was just tuned into some quality football. I wasn't essentially rooting for anybody. But again, we'll dive in. The Ravens impressed me. You know, they really did against what we thought was going to be a, you know, formidable opponent in the Carolina Panthers. And we were all excited. I watched that Pittsburgh game. You know, I watched it down to the last second, and every second mattered in that game. And it just goes to show, when it doesn't matter who's leading you at quarterback, if you have confidence and an opportunity, you can go beat a football team week in, week out. And that's what we hope the mentality of these Cleveland Browns are, that you have to be prepared. And you can also win, but also get beat every week.
You certainly can. I actually was able to go to New York. I ended up doing a show for DirecTV on their Fantasy Zone channel, which is a channel they launched, which is like Red Zone, but all fantasy analysis.
That's
all the
awesome.
Time. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time out there. John Ritchie's on the show. Dahani Jones, former players.
Cool. Yeah,
two
yeah.
guys on the show.
Played against both, I think.
John Hansen, the guru, and then Kay Adams hosted. But it's 7:04 on DirecTV, right next to the Red Zone. So it's every highlight you could want from fantasy, breaking down the matchups. I had a blast, and I think if you're a fantasy football fan out there, a great, great channel to watch on Sundays. And for me, this was the first Sunday in 5 years that I actually got to watch football, because I was there doing that show, and it had been, you know, I got to watch every game while we were doing. We were covering every game.
TVs everywhere,
I'm sure. TVs were everywhere. I was in heaven. It was the first time that I've literally watched every game on a football Sunday, because before I'd travel to New York and I'd do pregame shows, and then I'd be flying home during the games in the afternoon. So it was a real treat for me to actually get to watch football on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So I thought that was great. I had to console the kid a little bit on Saturday night after Michigan got destroyed by Minnesota.
That's a whole other segment.
I'm sure you might get to that on the Friday forecast. I'm sure there might be a mention of what's going on
with
Michigan football. But for me, it was a great weekend. Got to see a lot of friends and family there in New York, and it was good. It was nice to get
awesome.
To get away. Yeah, it was good.
It is. Sometimes it's just a breath of fresh air, something to change up. You know, instead of the norm of the routine, it's just a little break of monotony, which is, again, what this bye week will serve for these guys. You'd love to see it a little bit later, but I get it. Because of the coaching points that could turn this good football team into a great football team, it comes at a very good time for the Cleveland Browns.
And let me ask you this, because one of the games that I paid close attention to was the Titans game, because I know that's the next opponent for the Browns. Do players do that? You know, if you're on a bye week and you're home and you're watching football, are you going to make sure you watch the Titans Colts?
Yes, absolutely you do, because you're already starting to watch the schemes, which again, as you said already, we're familiar with because of the quarterback coach and Ray Horton as well now being there. But then you start to look at the players, you know, to what to expect. You know, if I were Joe Thomas or Alex Mack or any, you know, John Greco, I'm watching the D-line, see what kind of stunts they're running. Because as a former player and these guys as current players, you don't watch the game to be entertained. You watch the game with an analytical
homework.
You're doing a little homework. You're breaking down everything, and it's not so much fun. But again, I would think so, because they have, it's just a little head start for them.
A little head start for the Browns as they get ready for the Tennessee Titans this week. When we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we're going to dive into the three games of most importance to the Browns this week. That's Tennessee and Indy, Baltimore, Carolina, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay. Oh, and the Bills lost. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And that helps the Browns, obviously, for a draft pick. Plus, we're going to talk to you, 216-578-0850. The topics to hit us up on: what you did over the Browns bye week Sunday. What did you watch? What stood out to you in the National Football League? And how do you think the Browns are going to do over their next five games? What's the record you think they will have in these next five winnable games? We're going to get to your calls. We got some people on the lines already. All that and more when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.